Hallelujah.
Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers. As he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, they stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these 3, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. We've been talking these last 2 weeks about the 8 post-exilic prophets we'll have in these 3 weeks in our first reading. Today we get the prophet Jonah, and it doesn't seem like it's talking about the temple at all. The reconstruction of what would be the second temple there in Jerusalem. It seems like it's just a story, but this story we know is the principal one that Jesus uses to refer to how the true temple would be torn down and rebuilt in 3 days. That this would be the great sign that Jesus himself would give. That Jonah was a sign to the post-exilic Jews of how they had run away from the Lord. How their sin was not personal, but involved so many others. And how God, in a miraculous way, rescued them and sent them back so that they could be a sign of conversion to the nations. So that the new temple could be a sign of God's mercy. As the repentant Jonah would go to preach to the pagan cities to turn to the Lord before they would be destroyed. There's a double dynamism in today's readings, a diverse polarity. First is the whole dynamism of running away from the Lord. Jonah, when he heard the call, went toward Tarshish. Tarshish. Where is Tarshish? Sister Maria Cristina. It was Spain. It was the most western aspect of the known world in Jonah's time. He just wanted to run away as far as possible. And we see what happened. His running away involved others. And eventually he was thrown overboard in order to stop the way that his sin would ripple. We'll see what happened tomorrow in his conversion. But that whole dynamism of running away from the Lord, running away from His calling, running away from the way the Lord wanted us to care for others. Jonah could care less at this point about the Ninevites. We see that similar polarity in the first two figures in the parable of the Good Samaritan. The priest, when he heard the groaning, ran to Tarshish. The Levite ran to Tarshish. They ran away from what in conscience they clearly knew God was asking. And then we see the figure of the Samaritan. The Jews would have gasped in hearing this parable because of Jesus' use of the word Samaritan. To think about what it would be like, again, as I always say, it would be like somebody was dying in a sore here in New York City and the missionaries of charity didn't bother to draw near. Bishops and priests didn't draw near. But then all of a sudden you have a drug dealer or a child molester who is the one who climbs down into the sewer and picks up the man and cares for him. That's how shocking it would have been to hear that a Samaritan was the one who had cared. But in response to the dynamism of fleeing, we see in the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan, the dynamism that the Lord wants us to have of drawing near. This is what's essential for the rebuilding of God's holy work after the destruction wrought by sin. This is the way by which we are incorporated into His kingdom, into His temple. Because as Pope Francis constantly says, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of good Samaritans. It's a kingdom of those who make themselves their brothers and sisters' keeper. Those who draw near rather than run away when we encounter Christ in the disguise of the other. Our Lady is one who constantly draws near. We see it at the visitation, "You live." It's the first instant she had heard that her elderly cousin was pregnant. For the first time, and all that that would mean, she made haste to go to Ein Kerem to care for her. See it in the wedding feast of Cana, where before anybody else knew that they had a catastrophe on their hands, intervened with her son to work his first miracle, even though it was before his hour. So much did she care. We see it at Calvary, where she drew near to her son who was beaten and bruised and left for dead. And we see it throughout church history. We see it when she drew near to Juan Diego and the people of the Americas. We see it when she drew near to St. Catherine Laboure and talked about how she wanted everybody to run to her who was running to them to have recourse to her. We see it in La Salette when she drew near to the two shepherd children there, Maximin and Melanie. We see it in Lourdes, we see it in Fatima. Mary is constantly running, drawing near, seeking to help us. Today we mark the 448th anniversary of the Battle of Lepanto, when the Christian people were praying the rosary led by St. Pius V as the Christians were battling the Muslim Turks. Most historians recognize that if we had lost that battle, Europe would go Muslim. The Turks had vast military superiority at the time, but we had a different weapon. So the entire Christian people prayed to Our Lady and she responded. St. Pius V was leading the Romans in prayer through the intercession of Our Lady by means of the Holy Rosary. He was getting these photographic accounts of what was occurring far away. And when the triumphant sailors eventually returned, everybody recognized that what Pius was seeing and describing were not phantasms, but were what was actually occurring. And Mary intervened A year later, we celebrated for the first time Our Lady of Victory. And over the course of time, that's become Our Lady of the Rosary. Because what she did in Lepanto, she is constantly doing, whether we recognize it like the Christians in 1571 did, or whether we're oblivious like the couple in Cana, she's constantly drawing near. She's constantly helping. What an incredible gift the Rosary is to train us in the school of her contemplative heart, how constantly, first intentionally and then physically, to draw near to others. When St. John Paul II wrote his beautiful exhortation on the Rosary of the Virgin Mary, he described how entering Mary's school and contemplating the mysteries forms us to be a good Samaritan, forms us in charity. He says, how can we contemplate the mysteries of Christ's birth without having a much greater tenderness and a desire to care for those women who are pregnant, those people who are given no welcome? How can we meditate on the sorrowful mysteries without having a much greater solidarity with all those who are suffering? How can we meditate on the luminous mysteries and not become more and more people who live the Beatitudes in every way? How can we meditate on the mysteries of glory without having a huge hunger stoked for heaven and for making this world reflect much more the beauty of God? The Rosary is a school in which we become like the mother of the Good Samaritan, who was training him to draw near in her womb before he had even formed the tiniest of feet. Mary draws near to us today with this chain of love we call the Holy Rosary. The Rosary is a compendium of the Gospel, St. Thomas Aquinas said. In so many churches, including a beautiful one for which I was pastor, would in the series of stained glass windows across or around the circumference of the church always depict the mysteries of the Rosary, because pondering the Rosary is meant to lead us to the blessed fruit of Mary's womb, who comes down on the altar. Seeing those mysteries depicted and contemplating them like Mary helps us to take the Word of God far more seriously. That's why the Rosary is such an extraordinary preparation for the Mass. As we prepare now to receive that blessed fruit of Mary's womb, as she draws near to us, as Jesus draws near to us, let us ask him so to transform us that any temptation we have within to flee might be overcome. And so that we will learn not only to draw near to Jesus, but with him to draw near to all those whom he sends us out as his hand and feet to love.